and praise you. Thank you for that love. Thank you for your anointing here this morning. Thank you for just loving on us as your children, Lord, and embracing us, keeping us close and dear to you. Thank you for touching our lives, Lord, and doing something special in us, Lord. Every day is a new day with you, and every day we're refreshed by you, and every day we're encouraged by you, and we thank you for loving and leading and guiding us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, hello. It's a message. Some of you guys know I enjoy the message of God's love and His grace. I enjoy sharing about what has happened already through Jesus, what He's already done, and then just elaborating on that, because that's the gospel. It's the good news that we're no longer on our way to hell. We're on our way to heaven, and it's not because of us. It's because of what He did. And so today's message is going to be a message about God's grace that'll set you free from guilt, okay? So you don't have to feel that heaviness. It'll help you not feel that condemnation anymore. And I believe in a lot of ways, hopefully, it'll set you free from some of the performance that goes along with many Christians today, where we're still trying to perform for God, okay, in a way that says, if I just do this better, if I just do this right, then God'll, you know, that'll be more pleasing. Then I can expect the blessings, you know. And yesterday was a great example, because I'll tell you, when things don't go right in your life, the first place the devil will take you is to you. That this happened because you stepped out of God's will, this was something you did wrong, therefore you're being punished for it. And so the whole, you know, blazer incident that I shared with you earlier, that whole thing, the devil tried to heap that on right away. And I went to Margie and I said, you know, what do you think about this? This isn't something, you know, what's going on? I know it's not from God. He didn't make this happen. And so we had that discussion, and it was a good reminder for me again that that's the first place the devil wants to take you, is it's your fault. Because everything good in your life is based on you. That's what the devil will tell you. Okay, but you're going to hear the truth this morning about what it is really based on. Okay, this message should really increase your hope. Okay, and it should increase your expectation for good. Okay, that you expect good things to be coming your way and not bad things all the time. Okay, occasionally they happen. Things happen sometimes. But we don't have to expect that to be our norm. We don't want that to be like, oh, it's another day. I'm going to wake up and go through. I wonder what bad things are going to happen today. We don't need that. We don't want that. And we don't have to have that mentality or that attitude. And all these things are important because as a born-again believer, okay, as somebody that has said, I give my life to you, Jesus. My life is in your hands. Okay, as a born-again believer, your life is not meant to be heavy and burdensome, okay? Not meant to leave you with a sense of feeling ashamed of yourself, okay? Like I'm not good enough, I'm unworthy, I'm never making it up, never making enough, you know, good out of life, and to constantly feel like a failure, okay? The Christian life as a born-again believer is not meant to be that way. So if you've had those feelings like, oh, I'm just a failure, I can never do it, okay, listen to this message because it'll help you a lot. We're also not meant to be performance-based, okay, or performance-centered, okay, where you constantly feel driven to do more and be better, okay? Now, you'll have to hang with me because don't we want to improve and have life get better? And, you know, if we've got negative things, we want them to get away, right? So hear me out before you condemn that statement. But we are not meant to be performance-centered where we are feeling driven to do more and feel and do better. Okay, we don't want to do better. Okay, as a Christian, you should be compelled to do things because of a want to do things. Okay, that we're not driven to it or forced to do it where it becomes a have to do. Okay, one example I thought of is as an adult, I have to mow the lawn. But when you're 12 years old, like my son, you get to mow the lawn, right? It's a difference. It's not a chore to him. Okay, it's something that's kind of fun and exciting and something cool he can do. But you know, as you get to a different stage in life, things kind of turn from a get to a have to. Okay, and that's where it is with God. We can walk as a born-again believer where life is not a have to. It's not a I have to go see someone, I have to, you know, call someone, I have to go to ladies' tea, I have to go to men's brag, I have to go to church. It can be and stay as I get to. I am so grateful to be here this morning because I get to go to church. It's my, not just because I'm a pastor, it's always been my favorite day of the week since I gave my life to Christ. It's just a fun experience to be able to get to go and to be with God's people and to fellowship. Okay, God is not a pusher. Okay, He is a leader. Okay, the Holy Spirit is not pushy, He's a leader. He will lead you into good things. Okay, He does not drive you to be different. He leads you with His Holy Spirit into the fullness of your life with Him at the helm. Okay, He leads you into better things. The doing and being better, those things are going to come naturally when you're led by God. Okay, and they're going to last longer when you're led by God. Okay, and they're going to be more satisfying when they are led by God, and it is God that is doing something in and through your life, and it's not you attempting to accomplish it on your own willpower. Okay, because we got some of you are pretty stubborn, pretty strong. Okay, stubborn might not be the right word, but you're pretty strong, right? Strong-willed. Okay, and so if you want something bad enough, you can pretty much will it to happen. I mean, it can happen. Okay? You can change things. You can mix yourself, you know, and set your mind to do that. I don't know about you guys. Sometimes I remember, and this goes back many years, but back in the old days, I was, I don't want to make my wife upset, but I was engaged a long time ago. She knows all about this stuff. I was engaged to this gal, and it was before I had given my life to Christ, and things were, you know, I was at bottoming out in life pretty much. And at that point, when as soon as she broke it off, and we were supposed to get married, and a month before she broke it off, went and moved in with another guy, it was a horrible ordeal. Okay, well, this whole deal for me helped me to bottom out. But guess what I did at that point? My mindset changed, and by my own willpower, I improved my life. You know, I started hitting the gym every day. I was going to be the best looking stud in the town, right? Okay, and I was going to make her so upset that she had left this great guy, and all the girls were going to be flocking to me. Okay, this is before I gave my life to Jesus, right? So just kind of a funny one to give you that idea that by my own willpower, I did all that. Okay, by my own willpower, as a 24-year-old adult, I was in the best shape of my entire life, better than ever in football and all the stuff that I ever did. I was captain of the football team and captain of the wrestling team. I was in good shape. But when at that moment in my life, I set my mind, I'm going to be in the best shape of my life. And by my own willpower, I did that. Okay? You have willpower like that for accomplishing certain things in your life. But that did not last. I mean, look at me, right? I'm still in decent shape, but nothing like that. But that is because that kind of stuff was a temporary. It was my own will, and I accomplished it, and then it started to kind of fade away. The things that I'm talking about with God making changes are things that happen on the inside, and it manifests on the outside, and it doesn't go away. It's something that is just an enhancement in your life that continues to get better and better and better. And so if you let God do it, it makes it so that it comes naturally, it lasts longer, and it's much more satisfying. It just feels good. You just know that this was a God thing. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is our scripture to start with, and it basically straightforwardly says you are a new creature in Christ. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay, it says that you are a new creature or a new creation. Why? Read it. So it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Get that into your head. If you be in Christ, you are a new creation. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Everybody got it? Okay. You are in Christ, and that's what makes you new. Okay. So, understanding what it means to be in Christ is critical for you to live out your new creation life. Okay? They go hand in hand. You are a new creation because you are in Christ. And because you're in Christ, you need to know what that means to be in Christ so that you can now live out your new creation life. They go hand in hand. You want to live from the new creation life because if you're still trying to mix the old life in, okay, and you're still trying to fix up that old man, you will find it literally impossible to fulfill all that God has for you. You can't do it. If you're still trying to bring the old man into the new creation life, and you're bringing that in, saying, I still got to fix this, do better, be better, and change this old man into something shiny and bright. Okay, if we're still doing that, we're bringing in the old man into this new creation life and trying to mix the two together, and we're going to get frustrated with that. It's going to be confusing. You'll be like, why can't I ever get over this? Why can't this change in my life? Why am I still doing these things? And we get frustrated, we get confused, we can't figure out why it happens. You're still trying to fix up your old self instead of letting the old man just be behind you. Okay, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Okay, you become, all those who come in Christ are a new creation. You're a new creature in Christ. So the old saying is true that living in the past will keep you from your future. Okay, living in the past will keep you from your future. That is very true as a new believer in Christ, as a believer in Christ. You're a new creation. You've got an old life. That's not who you are anymore. Okay, those things, that stuff is going to fall away. That is not who I am anymore. That is behind me. Okay, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And setting your mind to that is just like me setting my mind to go to the gym and to do all those things. You're going to put that other stuff behind you, and I'm going to go forward that from here on out, I'm going to be the best looking guy in town, right? It was a small town. It wasn't that hard to do, but I won't tell you if I accomplished it or not, but I ended up with a really good looking wife. But okay. Amen. So what does it mean to be in Christ? If we want to be in Christ and that helps us live our new creation life and that we have a new creation life because we are in Christ, then we need to know what it means. First off, it means just that. It means that you, if you are in Christ, you're a new creature. You are a new creation. So set your mind to that. I am new. I'm not who I once was. If you haven't had, and I'll just say this for anybody that might be listening, but if you haven't had a born-again experience where you understand you were on your way to hell, now you're on your way to heaven, you had a moment in life, every one of us is living a life where we live it out in the Bible, and I had to eliminate a few scriptures because it was getting too long, but that's one of them I had in there. The Bible says, and the Apostle Paul says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody, and in the passages that follow that in Romans, everybody is destined for hell. Okay, because of a fall of man. Okay, but as we give our life to Christ, we are born again, born of the Spirit, born into the kingdom of God. Life changes on the inside. Something happens. Okay, and that is so critical to get that down, that you know that something happened. If you haven't had that experience, come talk to me or somebody that knows, and we can help you to understand that, that there's a difference. Something happens, and it's a light that'll go on that'll change your life. Eternally and on earth. Okay, so you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I don't think I have that one up there yet, Bob, but I had to cut it out. So anyway, you're a new creation. So if you're still waiting for God to make you new, okay, you're waiting for something that's already happened. Okay, you're waiting for it to be 10:30 so you can go to church, but it's, you know, 11:30 and you're already sitting here. Doesn't make sense, does it? You're already a new creation, so start living from the new. Okay, if you're born again today, then something on the inside of you has already changed. It's already happened. Okay, your true nature is no longer lost. It's no longer the unregenerate man, the person that you once were. You are born of the Spirit, and you are now connected with God in a way that you were not before. Something happened. It's a difference. Something transformed. Something happened inside of your life. You were lost. Now you're saved. You were in darkness. Now you're in light. Okay, you were a sinner, but now you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are no longer a sinner. Okay, don't ever get into that and preaching that you are a sinner, because it's just not true anymore. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody convince you otherwise. The Apostle Paul admonishes us to see yourself as having put off the works of darkness and having put on Christ, put on this robe of righteousness, right? Romans 13:12 says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, or I put in sexual promiscuity, not in wantonness or irresponsibility, not in strife and envying, but rather put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no longer provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So you put on Christ and you quit trying to fulfill this other stuff and bring it in with you. Right? You got a new robe. You put on the robe of righteousness and you're in Christ. Because when you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you understand that I am now in Christ Jesus, the lusts and the desires of the carnal flesh are going to be eliminated. They are not in that robe with you. Okay, it's a new creation. You got a new life in Jesus. And now that new mindset of I am in Christ. And the more you understand that you are in Christ, the more it will change your life. Okay, number two, I think I got 6 points on this, but number two, to be in Christ, to be a new creation in Christ means that you have received the grace of God and have entered into the new covenant relationship with God. Okay, we are no longer under the old covenant, performance-based law covenant of God. Okay, it is rather based now on the completed works of Jesus Christ. That's the new covenant. Okay. To be under the old covenant, you remember all the laws, they were so detailed, they were literally written down for them to know, so that when they broke one, they immediately knew it, right? It wasn't like, I wonder if that's something against God. No, it was on the list, okay? And they knew immediately, so they had that immediate feedback. That's something that's different from today, but that's a different message. To be in Christ means that you know and you live like there's something different about you. There's something different now about your relationship with God than it was before. Okay, you're not of the world anymore. Now you are in Christ and He is in you. Okay, it seems like sometimes we forget that and we begin to stop yielding the fruit of a life that knows that they are in Christ. Okay, and we start partaking of the world again. We start going back towards the old man and start engaging in behaviors that are just like the world that doesn't even know Jesus. And we start engaging and participating and having fun and in that area again instead of having fun in the body of Christ. I have done more laughing as a Christian than I ever did as a drunk, right? I mean, it was just, there was a lot of fun times, but man, I've had even better times now. Even this morning, during worship, that is so enjoyable. It's such a deep-rooted pleasure for me to experience the presence of God in a powerful way. And that is the fruit of a life that knows that they are still in Christ. This is my life now. I'm not that old man. John 15:4, Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, you need to do that because the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. No more can you bear fruit except you abide in the vine or abide in me, he said. Okay, what does abide mean? It means to live in him. Okay, it means you're in Christ. He is in you, but you are in him. You are wrapped up in him and staying deep and in that intimate relationship with him. Okay, number three is being in Christ means that you know and you believe and you have received the new covenant of Christ. Okay? The Bible goes to great lengths to teach us that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace. Okay? You're not under the law, but under grace. That's what the Bible tells us plainly. Your new creation in Christ Jesus is no longer prone towards sin and prone towards doing and having to try to keep certain things like that. Your new creation life is prone to do the right thing in Christ Jesus. Okay, and we're prone to do it right, prone to righteousness. Your new creation life came with part of it being the Holy Ghost. Okay, we got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So as we did that, that Holy Ghost in us starts to empower us and lead us to do the right things. We didn't have that before we gave our life to Jesus. Okay, when we did good things before, it was all about me and my own willpower. But now with Jesus in me, the Holy Spirit is in me. Now as He prompts me and leads me to do things, He is going to get the credit for it. But it's going to be even better things than I ever could have done before having Him in my life. I mean, if you want to add to that, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the true empowerment. The Bible talks about that, especially in Acts and other chapters, but other books. It gives a lot of recognition to the Holy Spirit in that empowerment that comes through Him. He said, behold, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power, okay? And that's what he was talking about. There's something that comes with that. That's another light that'll go on. Okay, so it's not up to just you anymore. It's not up to your own willpower. Okay, it's not up to you to try real hard to do the right things. It's not up to you to try to be better. Your new creation life is literally dead to sin. Okay, you are dead to sin as a new creation Christian. Okay, sin has lost its strength over you. It has lost its pull over you. It can't sway you without you having enough strength to overcome it anymore. Okay, you have been given exactly what you need for all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Romans 6:11 says this. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. In other words, see yourself as dead unto sin. Okay, but also see yourself as alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, therefore, let sin not reign in your mortal body anymore, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members or yield yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness unto sin. But now yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law anymore, but now you're under grace. Now, there's a whole message in that last verse that I had in here, and I had to cut it out because it was just way too long. I'll do it a different day. But sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law anymore. It's the new covenant. Okay, to know that you're in Christ is to know that you're in the new covenant. Something changed. The covenant changed, and God did that. It's okay to say, I'm not going to accept the old covenant anymore. I'm under the new covenant. It's okay to do that. Okay, everybody say this. Say, I am dead to sin because I am under grace. Okay, grace, God's unmerited favor is there for you. You are under His grace. You're under that anointing of what He did, and you're covered in that. The old covenant law was a covenant of performance. Okay, God said what to do and how to do it, and either you did it or you didn't. Okay, if you did it, oh man, things are good. You're in good standing with God. If you didn't, you fell out of God's way, right? You were against God, and you were in trouble. Okay, but as long as you did what you were supposed to do, you were okay. Okay, that was that covenant of performance. The new covenant is grace-based, meaning it's no longer based on you, but it's based on Jesus Christ and the gift of righteousness which He gives you. Okay, it is not based on you anymore. Jesus, God sent Jesus. He changed the covenant. Says, behold, this is the new covenant. This is my son. This is the new way we're going to do it. And He changed the covenant so that it's not based on you and what you do anymore. It's based on Jesus and what He did for you. And then you receive that into your life. Once you come to Christ and you are, quote, in Christ, you are no longer under the law, but you're under grace. Okay, you have seen the error of your ways, you have turned, and you've received God's complete solution to your problem. You had an issue, you knew that you were going the wrong direction, you turned your life unto Jesus and said, I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, all my sins will be washed away, I get a clean slate, and now I'm empowered to do the right thing, and you made that decision. You've accepted that solution that God gave you to your problem, named Jesus. You've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He has saved you from your sins and given you a nature that is no longer drawn to those sins, but is drawn unto Him. He changed something on the inside of you. And by receiving Him, you have received and entered into that new covenant, which God is set up, but is no longer based on the performance of the law, but it's based on God's unmerited and unearned love, based entirely on the completed works of Jesus Christ, not on your own. Ephesians 2:8, often quoted, hopefully it gets inside of you. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no man should boast. God didn't want us taking credit for saving ourselves. He said, nope, I'm putting it all on Jesus at this point. He's my son. This is the plan. He is perfect in every way. Believe on Him and thou shalt be saved. Okay, you have entered into the grace of God, and you have put on Christ like a robe of righteousness. You have wrapped yourself in Him so that as God sees you, He sees that robe of righteousness. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Okay, that means you have entered in and put him on like a robe around you. Okay, once you believe in Christ by faith, you are no longer under the human performance-based covenant of the law, but you are now under the umbrella of Christ. You became under the robe of righteousness, under Christ. You have put on Christ, and this scripture says, by being baptized into Christ. Okay, to be baptized means to be covered wholly and completely. Okay, so when we talk about a water baptism, okay, some of you guys, we got sprinkled when we were kids, you know, but we do the full submersion. We're wholly baptized, completely covered. That's why we don't just do our legs, you know. We go all the way under and all the way out, right? Okay, once you believe in Christ, you are being baptized into Christ. Okay, to be baptized into Christ means that you believe by faith that you are fully and totally covered by Christ. That's to be baptized by Christ, into Christ. It means I believe, I put everything into Jesus. I'm not holding anything back. Nothing's going to not get touched by this, the robe of righteousness he's given me. Everything is going to be covered by Christ. It is enough. It is sufficient. It is everything I need. It means that we are wholly covered in Christ. It means that it is not what Christ did and what I can do that makes me right with God. Okay, it is not what Christ did and what you can do or what you can add to it that makes you right with God. It is what Christ did, period. When you are in Christ and you're baptized into Him, it means you believe, you live, and you act like it is only because of and through Him that you are saved. Okay, it is all about Jesus. It is all about Him and getting into His covering that He has for you. Okay, you quit performing at that point, to quit trying to please God. You quit trying to be better and do better things apart from God because you know that it's all in Him is where it's all at. You begin to yield yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness, not an instrument to sin, because that's not who I am anymore. Now I'm an instrument of God's righteousness, and I begin to live out this other side. I begin to live out of who He is and what He wants through my life, and I begin to let Him live right through my life, because not only am I in Christ, but Christ is in me, right? So we're working together now, going in the right direction. Isaiah foretold of what our new life in Christ would be like when he said in Isaiah 61, he says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Okay, you are in Christ Jesus. You have put on Christ, and now you are wrapped in that robe of righteousness by your faith in his completed works. Number four is being in Christ means that your new life is now based on faith and not on works. Okay, it means your life in Christ is based on faith. It means your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It means you're not moved by what you can see, but you're moved by your faith in the Almighty God. He can do things that are not yet seen, and we're going to believe Him and trust Him to do those things. It is basing your faith in the completed works of Christ, basing it in His life and what He has did while He was on the earth, basing your faith in, on His death and resurrection, and now not basing it on your own works, but just to completely saying it is all in Jesus. Okay, when you're trying real hard to please someone, okay, here's the flip side of that, because if you're trying real hard to please someone and you fall short, how do you feel? Okay, you did everything, you put everything you had into making this person happy, okay, and you fall short. They're not happy. Doesn't matter what you did or how you did it, it wasn't good enough. How do you feel? Okay, do you feel like a failure? You feel like maybe, you know, I feel worthless. I'm no good. I can't do it. Sometimes people feel guilty. If I just would have tried harder, if I just would have done more, if I just would have made myself better, if I just would have used my willpower and made myself better, then they would have liked me. Okay, it makes you feel pretty tough, pretty low when you don't meet others' expectations. I had a job as a CEO many years ago of a Big Brothers Big Sisters program in Nebraska. Okay, and as the leader, my boss was the board of directors, right? And the board of directors, one of the guys on there, the board president, I guess his name was Jeff. Jeff was my boss, so to speak. And so for that first year, they told me my salary was a little bit less than what I was used to making when I took the job. And so they said, you can increase your own salary by your performance. You can increase it by your performance and the performance of the company. As it goes up, so will your salary. Okay, so I went out and I busted my tail for that company. I did everything I could. I did extra fundraising and I made, you know, started bringing in more money and got extra grants, things they hadn't even heard of or thought of before, and things started to happen. But after about, I was only in there about a year at this point, but after about a year came up my review, right? And this is when they decide how you've done and how much of a raise you're gonna get. And I had sewed in and I thought, man, this is gonna be great. I'm looking forward to this meeting. And Jeff comes in and we sit down. Well, looks like it's really not that much better than it was before. And looks like, you know, this guy, he was kind of aloof from the company. He didn't spend a lot of time there. And so he really didn't know all the stuff I had been doing. And so he really hadn't connected with me hardly at all. We barely knew each other. And so he's looking at a few numbers and different things and kind of, you know, asked some of the other staff how things were going. And he just got this impression that it really wasn't that much better than it was before. So they gave me a little tiny raise. And I was devastated. You can ask my wife. I was like, man, this is no good. I'm quitting. No way am I putting that much in. But there's the wisdom, is never do something based on emotion, because there was something that was going on that I hadn't yet seen that was about to happen that was going to change things for good. And shortly after that meeting, okay, I stayed in there. I was kind of bummed out. Didn't go to work with the same enthusiasm, but I kept doing what I know to do. And a new boss came in. Okay, the president changed of the company. And so as that new boss came in, it was a gal, and we connected. She cared about my life and my family and what was going on, and she just got involved, and she began to take what I had for skills and abilities and just empower me. If that's your strong suit, then go with it. And she began to empower me to do and encourage me to do what I knew to do. And within a couple years, we were breaking records. We brought in more money. We were serving more people. And I've got, to this day, a letter of recommendation from that board president that I still use, you know, 15 years later for jobs, because it was so well written by this lady saying, this is what this guy did in his tenure with our company. So all that is to say that being led by her and being encouraged by her, I was able to do substantially more than I ever could being pushed and driven by that other guy. Okay, because he didn't really know what was going on. He was kind of just set the goals out there, and this is what we want. But he never really stayed in it. He never really engaged with me in it. This new gal was a leader, and she was able to encourage me to do more and to accomplish more than we ever could have under that former leadership. That's what unconditional love brings into a relationship. Okay, that's when you don't have that performance element anymore. I'm not driven to do good things and to perform for this person, but they are now empowering me and encouraging me and strengthening me to do good things. And therefore, I enjoy what I'm doing, and it will be a blessing unto them, and their life will be benefited by it too. Okay, well, that kind of a relationship is what we have with God. Okay, now that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, you are no longer doing things to try to please God and make him like you. You are living a righteous life because he likes you. He loves you. He cares for you. He's intimately involved and intrigued with your life and wants to empower you to succeed in what he has called you to do and what you have in your heart to do. Okay, so now that you know that he loves you that much, you don't have to perform for him. You just fulfill that. And it is so pleasing unto God as we do that. So you don't always have to live your life anymore feeling like you're falling short with God. Okay, you don't have to live that way. You are satisfying to God. Your life is living up to his expectations because you believe in Jesus, because you trusted in his plan. That shows that your faith is where it needs to be. And that's how the Apostle Paul could tell us in Romans 8:1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, God is not mad. He's not disappointed. He's not condemning you. He's not looking down on you. He is looking at you saying, I am pleased with you. You have been faithful to me. You believe on my son and all that he did for you. That's enough. That will get you to where we need to be. And the life will begin to change as we see that change is taking place on the inside. It begins to manifest on the outside. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came so that the world through him could be saved. That was his plan. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because Jesus defeated the accuser. Okay, John said it in Revelation, the accuser of the brethren has been cast down. Okay, the accuser of the brethren, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, has been cast down. Okay, Jesus defeated him and we now live in his victory. Okay, he did what he did so that we would never have to fear being separated from God again. We don't have to be afraid that God is going to pull back from us and, oh, they messed up again, I'm not going to be with them today. We don't have to live in a fear of not being good enough for God. Okay, we're inseparable from God. We are inseparable from the love of the union of Jesus Christ. And being in Christ, number five, means that we are in his unconditional love. Okay, it means we have that. We're in that love. Romans 8:37, he says, no, we are more than conquerors in all these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You know, I just noticed something in that verse as I'm reading it just now. Nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's present and future. It doesn't say that your past won't try to separate you. I've never seen that before. But that is what happens when we're dwelling in the past and trying to pull in that old man and living from that. I'm not saying it's going to separate you from the love of God, but in your mind it will. Okay, in God's eyes it probably won't, but in your mind it will. It'll begin to hold you back that, well, I'm not good enough, and we begin to bring that in. But anyway, there's no condemnation for us that are in Christ Jesus because we are covered under the completed works in Jesus. It's based on his love for us, not our love for him. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, Christ died for me over 2,000 years ago. I wasn't even here on the planet yet, but he still died for me. Okay, God did what he needed to do. We don't have to expect and get just what we deserve, but we get what God wants to give us. Okay, we get what he wants us to receive. And by his own plan, by his own doing through Jesus, he made us acceptable to him. He made us his children. He made us in a place where we're able to receive so that when you are in Christ, you can know that you are unconditionally loved and embraced by him. Last scripture, Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Okay, that's number six, is in Christ you are accepted by God. Okay, you are acceptable to him. You are accepted by God. There's no more fear of rejection by God. Okay, Jesus suffered that rejection for us on the cross. I know I've said it before. He's hanging on the cross, says, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Okay, Jesus bore that rejection for a moment for us so that we would never have to endure rejection from God based on our works. Okay, let him lead you with his love, and don't be driven by a demanding God. Don't have a view of God that he is, you know, this big God and he's just forcing you to do stuff, even if you want to do it or not. He doesn't do that. Don't be driven by a demanding God, but be led by a loving and encouraging God. Okay, that's what your new creation life in Christ Jesus is all about. That's about being in him, understanding the covenant. I'm in him. I'm in his love. I'm not in performance anymore. It's all about what he did. And if we live in that, we will live out our life as a new creation in Christ. And it'll begin to enjoy it in a more and powerful way. Hallelujah. Father God, we're praising you this morning. Thank you again for your word, Lord. Your word is life unto us. It encourages us. And Father, I thank you that we will leave here today, Lord, from from the beginning of the worship this morning until now, Lord, that you have done things in our life, that you have encouraged us, you've touched our hearts in ways and softened those hard places. You have made us more tender unto you and more pliable, and that, Lord, you are leading us now with your Holy Spirit, guiding us into the fullness of what you want for us, and Lord, encouraging us to go in a way that is of righteousness, to go in the way of truth, to go in the way that is good and awesome, Father, in your eyes. And we know that you are leading us by your strength and your power, not of our own. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.